Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
If you missed our earlier program on Chris Pratt, it was powerful. He's got this MTV Elder
Generation Award recipient.
I mean, you would think, oh, what's going to happen there? He talks about being a believer that God is real, God loves you, God's got a plan for your life. He talks about every person has a soul, you need to take care of it. You've missed that program,
you've got to watch that program.
You know, I was just so proud. We're looking at, you know, the VFNKB, we talk about the seven mountains,
yes.
And you're looking at the entertainment mountain and the faith mountain colliding, and just this bright light that's going on, and you know, you just don't know what's going to happen next.
Check out that program, yes. Share it with a friend, comment below, get that word out, because it's amazing. Nine amazing rules.
Yes, and he has nine. We talk about eight,
we didn't do the eighth
particular rule. But today, you know, we're going to be talking about how hungry people are for truth. For how long did we go, John? And you're thinking, like, is anybody care about the truth?
Believe in all kinds of lies, telling lies.
They didn't even care. And you tell us, like, you prove it's a lie, they go, like, oh, I've known that.
Yeah.
It's like they weren't even interested in the truth. And that's a very sad time. But it's so exciting now to see where people are getting hungry for the truth.
Times are changing.
But I remember Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence prophesying in 2017, January, and he talked about that people begin to get hungry again for the truth. Let's go back and hear this prophecy.
He then asked me, how do you spell truth? I said, T-R-U-T-H. The Lord said, he's changing the appetites of people. Instead of the public now rejoicing in rumors, they will now become excited to hear the truth again. They will develop a love for the truth and reject the lies as well as the liars. This will not be true of everyone in every place, but a shift has already happened. Truth had fallen in the streets. But I tell you, I'm lifting it up again, and it shall cause great rejoicing. I, the Lord, have done this by my own power, by my right arm of might, and by my justice. Give God praise. Hallelujah.
Think about that. I, the Lord, have done this thing by my strong right arm, by my justice. And so God, you think, what's wrong with people? It's like, you know, if God backs off from us, we can't even tie our shoes. And you're looking outside of God reaching down and touching us, we wouldn't be hungry for truth. And so he's changing hearts by just his strong right arm. And you're starting to see people, John, Oxford University, I mean, that is a liberal university, liberal arts.
Doesn't get much liberal in
it. Right, you know, it's liberal arts. And so you're going there, you know, many people come from there. It's reported a great university. But in regards to if it's liberal, if I guess you could put it that way, or just.
Progressive, maybe?
Yes, maybe. But they just, you know, it seems slanted in a big way. But now, I mean, you have Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson, you know, I don't know him personally.
Okay.
He did write this book. The book is called 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote for Chaos, because we're seeing so much chaos, and chaos comes when you don't have the truth.
Mm.
Truth is what brings things together. And so he's coming, John, and speaking at different places. He spoke in Texas. He spoke in different places. And when he speaks, men who haven't heard truth, men are designed from, and everybody is men and women, but men, just, they want to hear the rules, you know, what's it?
What do I need to do?
Do I stop at green or do I go at green? And when the things are so chaotic, you know, men can't find their place, women can't find their place in the context of that. So he's sharing what he has on his heart about accuracy and what the standard things and what things have been truth for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does, men begin to cry, grown men begin to cry. They're just so thankful. And he writes about this in what his experiences in his book. But he goes to Oxford, and he's the last place this speaker of truth, and not that there's not truth at Oxford, but in regards to conservative principles, principles that just have been since the beginning of time, and that, you know, there's you know, two genders, and there's this and that, very specifics, you know. And people packed Oxford out to hear him speak. And so I'm waiting when he's speaking, I'm thinking, you know, they're going to give a question and answer time. I'm just waiting for that one moment they get done. It's like, you lost your mind. John Day gave him a not a standing ovation because where they were, but they just clapped and clapped. They were so hungry for the truth.
Isn't he addressing these issues about political correctness and, you know, going really just sharing it the way it is?
Right.
It's amazing.
Well, you think about it. Who's more frustrated than students in schools? Because they're pushing this agenda of political correctness all the way from grammar, all the way up to high school, at the universities and colleges, and they're, the students are human beings. They're going like, I need to know, do I stop on green or do I go on green? I need some definites in my life. And so he's saying, the question they're asking, one of the students asked him the question, you know, what do you think, not one of the students was interviewing him, what do you think at Oxford, what do you think about political correctness? So they're asking a very specific question. This is actually Jordan Peterson answering the question. You got to brace yourself and turn everything off because you got to listen. He's an intellectual.
Oh, he's deep intellectual.
but he's building a narrative to help us understand. I'm not just saying this. This is the
context.
Way it's been. It's context from it. And if you got to relax a little bit and listen. And he works his way around. He gets back to the very end. It's like, this is just how it is. And that's when he gets an ovation right there at Oxford University for speaking truth. Please, somebody, speak to us the truth. Let's join right now. This is Oxford University, Jordan Peterson talking about answering the question, you know, what do you think about political correctness?
So my first question is, political correctness is a rather vague term that refers to a wide range of issues, from preventing explicitly racist hate speech to calling out someone for wearing culturally insensitive clothes. Do you think that we should universally reject political correctness, or is there a line that can be drawn?
Well, that was the other thing I was thinking about talking about tonight, and I'm actually having a debate in Canada about that very proposition tomorrow. So here's what I've been thinking about that, trying to formulate my thoughts for my 6-minute initial opening remarks tomorrow. It's a very tight time constraint. So think about it this way. Imagine that you need to describe the world in order to perceive the world and to act in it, both of those, not just to act in it, but also to perceive it, and that you need a description at different levels of resolution. You know, and you can think about how you use your computer when you're dealing with images. You know, there are some times when what you really need is a thumbnail, because it doesn't require much processing power, and it's sufficiently representative of the reality so that you can do whatever you need to do with the image with the thumbnail. And you never replace the thumbnail with a high-resolution image if the thumbnail will do. And I really like that. I don't think it's an analogy. I actually think it's a description of a very large number of cognitive operations. And maybe there's a rule of thumb, which is never use a high-resolution theory when a low-resolution theory will do. The converse is also true, by the way. So then let's say that in order to orient ourselves properly in society, we need a general-purpose, low-resolution theory, existential theory. Something like that. It's not precisely a description of the objective world. It's more like an agreed upon narrative about how the world is constructed in relationship to human experience and how we should act in the world. So how we should look at ourselves, how we should look at history, how we should look at our social being so that we can coexist peacefully, so that we can move forward, so that our societies function. And then imagine that comes in broadly two forms, and I think it does. One is a collectivist form, and I would say that collectivist form is built very deeply into human nature. It's essentially a tribal outlook. It's an outlook that you can trace back hundreds of thousands of years, and perhaps more deeply than that. We know, for example, that chimpanzees have a tribal outlook, and that chimpanzees will patrol the borders of their tribes, looking for chimpanzees who aren't of the tribe, and when they find them, they will tear them into pieces. And so that was revealed by Jane Goodall in the 1970s. It was very shocking to everyone when that was first discovered, because there was a very influential line of thinking, mostly derived from people who were influenced by Rousseau, that, you know, human beings were innately good, and that only culture made them cruel and capable of atrocity. But the fact that the chimpanzees patrol their borders and tear apart their enemies really did that theory in a very serious way. So at least made it more complicated. So the collectivist view is essentially that the best way to conceptualize what a human being is to look at what tribe they belong to. And the tribe might be, well, this is one of the problems with the collectivist view, is which of your tribal allegiances is to be paramount. And that's actually a fatal problem, by the way, because there's an infinite number of ways you could be categorized, and it isn't obvious which of those tribal allegiances should be canonical, and hence the rise of intersectionality, which is something that's a dragon that will eat its own tail, certainly. But there's a notion there. It's like the most important thing about, forget about that for a minute. We'll say, well, the most important thing about you is your group, your gender, your sex, your race, your ethnicity, all of the multiple categories that we're supposed to be considering as fundamental realities now. And that the best way to construe reality is that it's a battleground between those groups for dominance, power. And that's the postmodern ethos, and it's a pretty decent thumbnail sketch of reality. You can sum it up quite quickly. You can use it as a guide to action in all sorts of domains. It has its consequences, however. And one of the consequences is that it's tribal. And tribal identities tend towards mayhem. Now, the alternative low-resolution view is the view that I think has been articulated most effectively in the West, and perhaps of all the places where it's been most effectively articulated in the West, the most effective articulation has come from the UK. I mean, there's something remarkable about what your country has done with regards to laying out the idea of individual sovereignty in a fully articulated manner, in a way that allows a political system to arise predicated on the assumption that the individual is of intrinsic value. And if you need a thumbnail view of the world, the most effective thumbnail view of the world isn't that you're the member of a tribe, even though in many ways you are, and the member of many tribes. The most effective thumbnail view is that you're to be regarded as a sovereign individual and you're to treat other people that way as well, both with regards to their rights, but even more importantly, and often forgotten, with regards to their responsibilities. And I think that polities that are based on the first set of presuppositions, the tribal, degenerate into precisely what you'd expect, which is tribal warfare. And the second have the possibility of blooming into exactly what they have bloomed into, which are the most functional societies, the most peaceful societies, the most successful societies, the societies that are the best at generating wealth along with inequality that the world has ever seen. And so I would say, we sacrifice the latter to the former at our great peril. And I would also say that, and this is something that I'm very ashamed of, is that the universities, broadly speaking, are doing absolutely everything they can, as fast as they possibly can, to ensure that we sacrifice the sovereign individual view for the collective tribal view. And I think that is appalling beyond forgiveness. And so that's what I think about political correctness.
That's so powerful when you see that. They're on the Oxford University, and they're saying, basically, what do you think about the stuff they're doing to us? And, you know, Peter's, you know, he says, you know, literally, this is what's happening on the universities. They're polarizing everyone, dividing everyone. It's tribalism, and it's postmodernism, which is basically do away with everything that you historically have. And he's saying it's just ripping us apart. And I love what he said was, and we got to go to a break here, but listen, he said, you know, that the ultimate thing is that each person is sovereign and accountable to themselves.
An individual.
And that's where the American Constitution says that, you know, each man is, you're created by God. You know, your rights come from God. And that the government is for you in America. It's not over you.
Yeah, you're not for the government. The
government's for you. And it comes out of UK, United Kingdom. That's where, you know, where our founding fathers come from. And so the context of that is that, and he goes on further in this discussion, we'll make the whole thing available to you there for Oxford, but he's talking about, you know, how America formulated and how we came out, and that is so important because America was designed on the fact of the founding fathers that men are, you know, basically evil, and it has to be outside of God, it's not going to work, and you got to have a balance of powers. Because you're going to have people that get into leadership that are just, you know, Looney Tunes or crazy,
yeah.
And it's going to keep them. It's going to keep that from
absolute power corrupts
absolutely. And you can't just say just it's going to work out. And tribalism is saying, you know, mine better than yours, we're better than, and God loves us all.
Yeah.
And when you see people trying to divide you from what God created, don't let them do that. And you know, that's what political correctness is about. And the church, as Christians, you know, all over the world. We're about sticking together and staying together and even loving people outside of our tribe, loving people that we don't, you know, if a stranger walks up to you, you don't know them, you still love them because you want to share with them the love of
That's
God
right.
and all. So we're not about, you know, compartmentalizing that type of thing. I think it's some great wisdom, you know, from what he's sharing. And it was just encouraging to see this liberal arts university. And the applause went on for a lot longer than you actually saw. And to see that, it's refreshing because these are our leaders for tomorrow.
It's intelligent conversation and not, you know, again, people loving the truth and not willing to believe in lies anymore.
Right.
It's great.
And so listen, we want to hear from you. Comment below. Email us. We want to hear what your thoughts on this actual, what about political correctness? We don't become haters and all that kind of stuff. We just want to hear what your thoughts on it. I think everybody's important and everybody's personally accountable to God, and that we should actually love each other while speaking the truth in love.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.